in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is May 24, 2019. I am Patrick Wood, editor and founder of Technocracy.news. Well, today's going to be an interesting discussion on things related to technocracy. In the intro to this broadcast, you heard from President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who very famously in his farewell speech warned Americans about the military-industrial complex that threatened to control the country. And right after he said that statement, which is usually what people quote, he also warned of a technological elite. There's no doubt that Eisenhower understood technocracy and technocrats because he very clearly stated that the technological elite wants to take over as well. Well, guess what? Today's first story indicates that these two areas have merged together. That is exactly correct. They discovered each other and apparently made an interesting marriage, and they've helped each other ever since they started. But here's the thing. This article starts out, the U.S. Department of Defense's bloated budget, along with CIA venture capital, helped to create tech giants, including Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and PayPal. The government then contracts those companies to help its military and intelligence operations. And in doing so, it makes the tech giants even bigger. In recent years, the traditional banking, energy, and industrial Fortune 500 companies have been losing ground to tech giants like Apple and Facebook. But the technology on which they rely emerged from taxpayer-funded research and development of bygone decades. The internet started as ARPANET, an invention of Honeywell Raytheon, working under a Department of Defense contract. The same satellites that enable modern internet communications also enable U.S. jets to bomb their enemies, as does the GPS that enables online retailers to deliver products with pinpoint accuracy. Apple's touchscreen technology originated as a U.S. Air Force tool. The same drones that record breathtaking video are modified versions of Reapers and Predators. According to the report, Amazon supplied surveillance and facial recognition software, and it has pitched the reportedly inaccurate and race gender bias technology to the Department of Homeland Security for its counter-immigration operations. 10% of the subsidiary Amazon Web Services profits come from government contracts. Departments include State Department, NASA, Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In 2013, Amazon won a $600 million commercial cloud services contract with the CIA. And it goes on and on. Yes, there has been a very distinct merger between the military-industrial complex and big tech. And this partnership continues. Next, we'll turn our focus to the West Coast for the last two stories, and something interesting is transpiring in Los Angeles, in particular in the shipping port section of town, which is arguably the largest shipping facility in America between Los Angeles, Long Beach, and San Diego. Much of the nation's cargo is received and dispatched from these ports. Now, port workers are extremely distressed by the fact that the shipping facilities are being automated completely. The handwriting is on the wall. Most people now see it clearly. And because shipping containers do offer some type of standardization, which is the idea of shipping containers in the first place, that they can be stacked and packed and put on cargo ships with big cranes and so on very easily, that within a few years, these shipping facilities will look like a giant Amazon warehouse, where all these shipping containers will be moved around automatically by robots. Trucks will be converted into electric trucks, eliminating the need for diesels. Many of these trucks will be autonomous. In other words, they won't require a driver. Now, for the tens of thousands of port workers on the West Coast and indeed on the East Coast too, the handwriting is on the wall. The labor unions are duly upset, trying to stop the process. The International Longshore and Warehouse Union, for instance, represents dock workers across the West Coast, says that they've gathered support from local, state, and federal politicians for its efforts to prevent the municipal board running the port from letting the company proceed with its plans. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, who has set his own emission targets as part of his Green New Deal, is brokering negotiations for a deal this month. The conflict is one of many progressive clean energy initiatives against blue-collar jobs threatened by changing technology. Dan Sperling, a member of California's Air Resources Board and professor of civil engineering and environmental science at the University of California, says, "Automation is the path of history. The questions are how much automation really makes sense, and how do you deal with the disruption to the workers?" Well, that's the big question. Technology for the sake of technology never makes sense in the end. People need to be considered as well. After all, the whole purpose of the port exercise and shipping containers and ships, trucks, is all for the benefit of people anyway. Why shouldn't people be involved in the production and distribution of those things? Well, of course they should. And the last story ties into this so perfectly, because Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has launched his own Green New Deal in Los Angeles. Los Angeles residents, look out. Apparently, the mayor aspires to turn Los Angeles into a city-state where it will act and operate autonomously and independently from the nation that it sits in. The article is actually written by Mayor Scarcetti's website. I doubt it was him personally, but somebody put it up on his website. And I've reproduced the entire report because of that, because it's public domain. It promises environmental justice and equity through an inclusive green economy. Yep, that sounds just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, doesn't it? Well, listen to some of the details. It is exactly a knockoff of the national program. And while everybody thought that Ocasio-Cortez was kind of crazy and that her plan was crazy, it's sweeping the nation in spite of what Congress does. In fact, my guess is Congress is way behind the curve on this, and that cities like Los Angeles will simply stand up and say, this is what we're going to do. We don't need national support on this or anything. We're just going to do this. But listen to the program. It's just like the nationally proposed Green New Deal. Here's a few points. Building a zero-carbon electricity grid, reaching an accelerated goal of 80% renewable energy supply by 2036 as we lead California toward 100% renewables by 2045. Creating a jobs cabinet to bring city, labor, educational, and business leaders together to support our effort to create 300,000 green jobs by 2035 and 400,000 by 2050. Mandating that all new municipally owned buildings and major renovations be all electric, effective immediately, and that every building in Los Angeles, from skyscrapers to single-family homes, become emissions-free by 2050. Achieve a zero-waste future by phasing out styrofoam by 2021, ending the use of plastic straws in single-use takeout containers by 2028, and no longer sending any trash to landfills by 2050. Recycle 100% of our wastewater by 2035. Sourcing 70% of our water locally, a significant increase from our existing pathway, and nearly tripling the maximum amount of stormwater captured. Planting and maintaining at least 90,000 trees which will provide 61 million square feet of shade citywide by 2021, and increase tree canopy in low-volume, severely heat-impacted areas by at least 50% by 2028. And the Green New Deal's targets solidify Los Angeles' position as the national leader in solar energy, electric vehicle infrastructure, and green jobs. It incorporates initiatives from 44 partner organizations employing a unique, collaborative, multi-sector approach to meeting our shared goals of a more sustainable, equitable city. Our plan calls for a 50% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2025. That's only 6 years away, folks. Outpacing the standards set by the United Nations IPCC report. So they're going to do that one better. Taken together, by 2050, the work and milestones of our Green New Deal are expected to save more than 1,600 lives, 660 trips to the hospital, and $16 billion in avoided healthcare expenses each year. I'm not sure how they figure that, by the way, but that's their boast. Now, support for LA's Green New Deal has been very strong from some key community partners. For instance, Andres Ramirez of LA Clean Energy Coalition states, "The Los Angeles Clean Energy Coalition applauds Mayor Garcetti for establishing the Green New Deal in our city. This is a great day for Los Angeles." Mike Brune, executive director of the Sierra Club, says, "Mayor Garcetti's Green New Deal for Los Angeles is an example of the strong leadership and bold action we need in communities across the country to transition beyond dirty fuels and prevent the worst of the climate crisis. Los Angeles is stepping up to inspire the nation in how a city can transition to a clean energy economy that is rooted in equity to ensure everyone can have access to clean, affordable energy and new career opportunities." Wow. Mark Watts, executive director, C40 Cities, says, "Los Angeles PLAN sets a framework for what a Green New Deal means in action. The emissions reductions it targets are consistent with delivering on the ambition of the Paris Climate Agreement and keeping global temperature rise to within levels that scientists say are manageable. Thanks to Mayor Garcetti's vision, all Angelenos will enjoy a healthier, more prosperous, and sustainable future." Mark Watts continues, "Cities around the world are watching closely and taking inspiration from Los Angeles because this is the thriving, low-carbon future we need being created before our eyes." Mary Leslie, president of the Los Angeles Business Council, says, "We applaud Mayor Garcetti for his leadership on sustainability and taking bold action to accelerate the city's goal, attracting new investment, and doubling the clean energy jobs over the next 15 years. Now is the time to make strong investments in our clean energy future. We look forward to achieving these goals in partnerships with business and community leaders." And the list goes on. So Los Angeles now is going green. The mayor aspires to be the leading Green New Deal mayor in the country. He will be applauded as a hero, I'm sure, in many cities across the nation. And indeed, other cities will take encouragement from what Garcetti has done in L.A., because after all, if L.A. can do it, it must be good for all other cities of smaller size. So look for Green New Deal ideology to sweep America en masse as other cities pick up the challenge and implement their own version of the Green New Deal. This is coming at us very quickly, folks. The building is being erected before our eyes. While nobody really paid attention during the development phase of all of this, we see the fruit of it now. We see people like Eric Garcetti standing up and just using their power base to implement the Green New Deal directly. It doesn't matter if the people of Los Angeles cared about it or wanted it. You just did it. And of course, a mayor pretty much can do those kinds of things, just arbitrarily do it. Now it's time to get busy in your local community. Only your city, your city council, your county commissioners, they can block this kind of stuff, or they can implement it and break your back. Your choice. A friend of mine once said, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're what's for dinner. So get a seat at the table in your city, and perhaps you can make a difference. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.